engineers tend to be a little bit more risk-taking than scientists, who adhere more to the concept of, well, if we don't do anything, we're not going to hurt anybody.
This is James Ball from the School of Civil and Environmental Engineering at the University of Technology, Sydney. James was one of the authors of the Australian Rainfall and Runoff Guidelines, which are the guidelines used across the country to estimate how bad flood events will be. And to give you an indication of just how in detail these guidelines are, they took 8 years to write.
An engineer will have to make a decision, even although they don't have adequate information to define all the risks, all the problems associated with that particular issue. The do-nothing option is not a viable option.
And although a lot of time went into writing these guidelines, what James is saying is engineers have to act fast, because floods tend to come on pretty quickly. However, the problem in acting fast means you have less time to plan, and less planning makes for potential problems in the future.
We are solving problems now that the generation of engineers 20 years ago created by solving the problems that the earlier generation of engineers created. And we will continue to do that.
But as time goes on, engineering is becoming stronger and more thought out.
Engineering and the management of floods. Interesting problem. We know a lot of things that can be done to mitigate the impact of floods, but a lot of it also comes down to how much the community is prepared to pay to mitigate that impact. If we throw in the climate change scenario where magnitudes of events are going to change, because most flood mitigation work's already designed on a probability analysis, what is of greater concern is the magnitude of the hazard rather than the probability of the hazard. What that means in essence is, how much bigger is my flood going to be?
To figure that out, James would look back at flood records over time. He'd look at rainfall, a particular area, what the trends of rainfall were. He'd also look at how they dealt with flood events in the past, where they had catchment systems in place, meaning where the extra flood water would flow to. But he'd also take a look at the future rainfall predictions. The Australian Research Centre of Excellence for Climate System Science published research in January this year that says with a raise of just 2 degrees Celsius in global average temperatures, Australia will see an 11.3 to 30% increase in rainfall from extreme precipitation events. These sorts of predictions would mean not only more rainfall, but more severe flood events. So with all of this in mind, what does James do with all this data?
So let's imagine you're on a team of engineers, builders, whatever, and there's a new town and you're part of a project to build this new town. And this place is, given its geography and everything like that, it's a place that's prone to flooding. Let's also say, over time, this place is just, the floods are going to get consistently worse and worse and worse. In this hypothetical scenario, you as the hydrology engineer, what's ticking in your mind first? What are you thinking about in this initial part?
The first is, what is the risk to the people that will be living in the town? And what can we do to mitigate that risk? And the second thing is trying to design systems that are or can be expanded with time as the risk from flooding changes for whatever reason.
What are these systems?
Well, systems we can be looking at could be your levee banks around the town to protect the water.
And what's that?
A levee bank is a mound of dirt designed at a certain level so that the flow from the river doesn't enter the town. The Dutch call them dikes.
Let's say that option one of it could be you put a levee around the town so the water goes around it. What if that option fails? What would option two be?
Generally, the way a flood protection system works, they work by having some physical structures in place to try and manage flows. But at the same time, you are running with models of what that flood event could look like. And if it looks like it's potentially going to overtop the levee, you will start evacuating the people. And Ningen was an example of that.
Where's that?
West of Dubbo.
Right. And so what happened in this instance?
In this particular case, one sub-catchment area with very limited rainfall gauges got a very heavy downpour. It was unexpected depth of rainfall and depth of flooding coming down the catchment onto the town. The town had already been in flood for the best part of 2 weeks, and this extra rainfall was just enough to overtop the levees.
Have we learnt a lot from historical flood events in terms of how we, have these systems in place to deal with floods?
We are continually learning from historical events. Every event teaches people and ourselves something new. Even if it's just when we had to undertake some evacuation, what worked with the evacuation, what didn't work. If we've got designed a levee, how it worked, did it work to design or not. So every time there is a flood event, we learn something new that can be implemented in the next during the next event.
Do you feel like it's just this constant, like, wild goose chase to be like, well, this system works now, it will work then, and this is the best option?
The only way we will get a system that is inherently going to work over all times is if we stop things happening. And that's an impossible situation. The big question comes in, however, is if we do it now, we have a massively overdesigned system for the current flood regime. If we do it at the end, we're admitting the system has failed all the time. At the other hand, an overdesigned system ends up with the current generation has a higher level of flood security than the future generations.
And so what's your option then? What can you do then to solve that problem?
We cannot solve the problem. All we can do is mitigate the outcomes.
That was James Ball, Associate Professor in the School of Civil and Environmental Engineering at the University of Technology, Sydney.